Okay. Hello, everybody. Today is the 7th of April, the 28th of Adar Bet, Parshat HaChodesh this week. And we are continuing on in Perek Tet Zayin of Shmuel Aleph, chapter 16. And so last week, I think we went through Pasuk, through where the pay is, on the longer side of your sheet. So through Pasuk Tet Zayin, that's where we got up to, and we discussed this spirit of God that is resting on leaders. And I just read some things last night from Rabbi Amnon Bazak about where it's mentioned in Shoftim also that the spirit of God rested on certain leaders during Shoftim, and also he compared it to Moshe transferring from his spirit onto Yehoshua, when Yeshua became a leader, although, and I had mentioned this last week as well, that that's a different model because Moshe is compared to a candle whose flame is not diminished, because Moshe was a Navi of a different caliber than any other Navi. So in further transfers of this Ruach Hashem, which is the first two words of Yadalid, Ruach Hashem, then it really is a zero-sum game. There's a slight overlap, very slight, and then it goes to the next leader. Okay, so now we're going to get more into music this week and the initial relationship of David and Shaul, which is really interesting. Okay, so Yodalad, V'ruach Hashem sara me'im Shaul, uvi'atato ruach ra'a me'et Hashem. So this ruach of God was removed from Shaul, and a frightening bad spirit came from God. Ve'amru avdei Shaul ilav, and the servants of Shaul said to him, Hinena ruach Elokim ra'ah miva'atecha, this evil spirit of God is scaring you. Tetzayin, so now they have a suggestion. Yomer na adonenu avadecha lefanecha bivakshu ish yodea minagen b'kinor ve'ya biyot alecha ruach Elokim ra'ah v'nigen biyado v'tovlach. So let our master say to your servants before you that they will request a man who knows how to play on the kinnor, the harp or the lyre. I don't know if we have an exact translation today of what that is. And it'll be that the spirit that it'll be upon you, that when this evil spirit of God is upon you, and he will play, and it'll be good for you. Okay, so I just wanted to, some of the sources that I brought in were this power of music that they're suggesting that we've seen in the sources before. So this is very interesting. We're going to refer back to Perek Yud a couple times in this shiur. So the first time is after Shmuel originally anoints Shaul, Shmuel then tells him what he's going to encounter. And he says, Achar kein tavo, when he's returning home to his giv'ah, to his hill, what he's going to encounter. So, Achar kein tavo giv'at Elokim. After that, you're going to come to the hill of God. Asher sham nitzivei plishtim. There's going to be a garrison of plishtim. Vayhi kevoach hasham. And it'll be when you come there, ha'ir, to the city, ufagata chavel nevi'im, yordim mehabama. So you're going to meet a band of prophets coming. Chevel is like a rope, so that's interesting. Coming down from the high place. V'lif nehem, nevel, v'tof, v'chalil, v'kinor, v'hema mita'abim. So with them will be, it says a psaltery, some kind of instrument, and a drum, and a flute, or a pipe, and a harp. And they will be prophesizing. V'tzalcha alecha ruach Hashem v'hitnabeta imam v'nafachta li'ish acher. And the spirit of Hashem will come strongly upon you, and you will also prophesize, and you'll become another man. You'll turn into another man. So when we looked at this before, we were seeing it just as a general transformation of him as a normal citizen into the king, that he would be transformed. But what we didn't pay attention to before that we're pointing out now is the power of the music, that the Navi goes through so much pains to tell us all the musical instrumentation that's involved in this process of turning him into another man. So from there, he went from a regular citizen into a king with, this is when he essentially receives his Ruach Hashem, that now we're seeing removed from him, and his servants are bringing in the notion of music again to help him to recover from losing this Ruach of Hashem that he received through a musical experience there. Okay, and then from Malachim Bet, this is about Elisha. So it's on the next page. V'ata kuli menagen v'ya kenagen ha-menagen v'tehi alecha yad Hashem. So this isn't talking about Ruach Hashem, it's talking about Yad Hashem, but it says, bring me a person who plays musical instruments, and it came to pass when the musician played that the hand of Hashem came upon him. So just different places where we see music enabling a relationship with God. And I know I've plugged it before, and again, I don't even know the author, but the book that I referenced before about prophecy during the time of Eliyahu, the Lamp of Darkness, which really he takes all these references to music and really creates a world, the world of the prophets, where you see how the music was done and how the prophets had prophesied during that. It's a young adult historical fiction, but my whole family really enjoyed it. Okay.
What's the context of this Malachim mention?
Elisha.
Oh.
Okay. So. Okay. So let's read on to the Pesukim. So go back to the first page, and then we're going to look at Rabbi Yoshua Bachrach. Well, first we'll look at the other thing, and then okay. So, how does Shaul respond to this? Yud Zayin. Vayomer Shaul el Avadav. Shaul says to his servants, "Ru'u na li ish mitiv lanagen v'havi otam elai." So, look for me, provide for me a man who's very good at playing, and bring him to me. Yudchet v'yan echad mehanarim vayomer. So, one of the young men says, answers, and he says, and this is where I mentioned before, but we're going to get more into it. His name is Doeg, the Mefarshim are going to tell us. Vayomer, what does he say? Hine ra'iti ben li Yishai. I have seen a son to Yishai. Now notice that he just says a son to Yishai, and we had a whole discussion a couple weeks ago about how many sons Yishai had. So pay attention to the fact that David's name is not mentioned here, but Shaul somehow is going, we're going to see that it's, somehow he knows it's David. Beit Halachmi, who's from Beit Lechem, Yodea Nagen, he knows how to play instruments, V'gibor Chayil, and he's also a very strong hero, V'ish Mechama, and he's a man of war, U'Navon Davar, and he's very understanding of words, V'ish Tor, and he's attractive, V'Hashem Imo, and Hashem is with him. And we're going to see how manipulative this is of this man Doeg, which we did mention, but we didn't see it inside, right? Okay, so keep that all in mind, that all of this flattery about who David is, and why couldn't this man, this Na'ar, this young man, have just said to Shaul, I know somebody who's a really good musician. Why does he have to go on and on and on about all these things, and especially ending with Hashem Imo? Because what just happened to Shaul? Hashem is no longer Imo.
Can I just ask, why is Shaul involved with this? I mean, it just seems like pretty painful. Like God's spirit is taken away. He's lost his kingship. Now he's involved with getting the next person to getting.
He's not. He doesn't know. It's not known. He has no idea that David's been anointed. Nobody knows except for David's brothers.
But I see this. This is to comfort him by hearing the music.
Yeah.
And so he says, okay. Oh yeah, let's get this person.
So, I see. I thought this was, but it's also the prelude to what's going to happen.
So
it's funny he's so involved.
That's actually,
it's just,
right. That's what Rabbi Yoshua Bachrach is going to talk about, is how Hashem is arranging it so that they meet each other at this point and they love each other.
I see, in a positive way.
Yeah.
It's a buffer. Okay.
Yeah.
That's what was confusing.
Yeah. So Shaul has no idea. And we talked about last week how Shaul knows that his friend, Re'echa, who's better than him, is going to replace him, but he has no idea who that is. And we talked about how that created this feeling of paranoia in Shaul that from that moment he heard those words, which was a long time ago already, but he has no idea that it's Devin. And now Doeg is using this language, which already is hinting that maybe there is something with this son of Ishai that is better than him, that could be. So Shaul is being introduced to this man who, on the one hand, is going to provide great comfort for him, but on the other hand, Doeg has inserted into his head that maybe he's the one that's going to replace him. So it's this tension here. Okay. Yetet. Vayishlach Shaul Malachim. And Shaul sent messengers. El Yishai. To Yishai Vayomer. Shelcha Elai et David bincha asher batzon. And he said to him, send for me David, your son, that's with the sheep. Now this is also interesting. I think Rabbi Bachrach is going to talk to this. That Yishai just experienced this whole anointing, and now Shaul is calling for his son. Can you imagine what's going through Yishai's mind? Like, this is like the Secret Service coming to your door, you know? Like, here his son was secretly anointed. Maybe there's a spy. Maybe Shaul found out. Maybe he's sending for David to kill him. Like, he has no idea, right? It's just this crazy situation. And it's all part of the same chapter. Okay. And notice Shaul does not say please, because he is actually going to say please later. So veikach Yishai chamor lechem v'nod yain ugedi izim. So what does Yishai pack for his son? A donkey laden with bread, and a jug of wine, and sheep, and a kid, a young goat. So let's finish the pasuk, and then we'll go to the next last source on the next page. Vayishlach b'yad David b'no el Shaul. And he sends it in the hand of David, his son, to Shaul. So you'll notice I bolded lechem, yayin, and gedi. So this, if you go to the other page, this also takes us back to Perek Yud. And this is fascinating, and we could probably go even deeper into this, but I didn't spend a lot of time thinking about it. So this is again, Shmuel is telling Shaul all the things that he's going to encounter and all the signs that he's going to see. So v'chalafta misham v'hala, you shall go on forward from there. This is Pasuk Gimel, before the other one was hey thrivat. So this is before that. Uvata ad alon elon tavor. You're going to get to the plain of Tavor. Matzaucha sham shoshan ashim olim el ha'alakim beit el. You're going to encounter there three men who are all coming up from beit el. They're going to God. They're going to make sacrifices to God. Echad nosei shlosha gediim. So one is carrying three goats, which is the last thing that Yishai packed for his son. Ve'echad noseh shloshet kikarot lechem, and the other will be carrying three loaves of bread, the first thing he packed. Ve'echad noseh nevel yayin, and one will be carrying a thing of wine. So this Rabbi Foreman has spoken about this before, not on this, but he talks about how when Paro brings Yosef up from the pit and he puts new clothes on him, and then he intently wants to hear from him about his dream. So if Yosef is paying attention, which he is, he's tracing this backwards. This is a symmetrical reverse of what happened to him. So it's like watching his own life in reverse, that nobody would listen to him with his dream. He was stripped of his clothing and he was thrown into a pit. And here he's taken out of prison, which is called the pit, a boar. He's put new clothing, and here this new father figure wants to listen to him. And then even Rabbi Foreman describes the dreams themselves are all referring to his life, previous events in his life. So the cows are Yifat Mar'av, Yifat Tawar, which is the only other people described that way are him and Rachel, as the way they're described as beautiful. We saw David isn't even described in exactly that language. And then what gives Yosef the leg up in interpreting the dream that none of the other magicians or wise men for Paro had was that he's thinking to himself, okay, this is clearly my mother, but what's the seven? What significance does the number seven have in my life since all of this is speaking to me? And he recognizes that what's seven in Yosef's parents' lives?
Children.
No, there's a lot more children. Yaakov working for seven years. And that's what gives Yosef the leg up over all the other magicians, that the seven represents years. That's how he knew it.
Ah, that's interesting.
So, yeah. So Rabbi Foreman has this whole theory that he works out about how this is indirect prophecy. So it's like as if you could say God making an inside joke with Yosef. Like he's having all these things appear to him that are so relevant to his own life that only he could know. So like if you want to, you know, send a secret message to your spouse and you have to say something out loud, you might say, remember that time, and then something only the two of you know about, and then you get the message out, and it's not prophecy. So it's not, Yosef's not having a prophetic experience, but he's being given all these clues to enable him to do this. So Shaul, all the more so, is being shown all these clues at this time when he's losing it, and David's going to appear with bread, wine, and a goat, a kid goat, and he might be reminded of when he was initiated into the kingship, and now he knows he's losing it, and these are all signs of to him. So it's just really interesting, the full circle. Since we're talking about Shaul, Rabbi Foreman, we had a lunch with him afterwards, and he told a story how he, I forgot the reason, but he organized with his family to do a Shmuel Bet tour. So that's when Shaul is killed and his sons are hanged, and it's very, so they went to all these places, and I forgot which chapter he said it was. I think it was the chapter where the sons are, where, no, it was where Shaul seeks out the necromancer to bring Shmuel back to life. And he wasn't paying attention to the tour guide, but he was sort of reading on his own, and he saw all of these references to Yaakov's deception of his father and stealing the birthright, and then Lavan's deception of Yaakov, and then Binyamin and the cup being found in his bag, so Yosef's deception of all the brothers. And who is Shaul descended from? Binyamin. And so it was all of these textual references were a sign to Shaul, like in all of these places where your ancestors were ensnared and trapped, and the story ended, this is your final ending. And he just felt like Shaul was tapping him on the shoulder in these places that were so important to his story, and that he was seeing this, all these connections. It was really interesting. Okay. So that is that. Let's just finish the psukim, and then we'll read Rabbi Yeshua Bachrach. Okay, so Kaf Aleph, Vayavod David al Shaul. David came to Shaul, Vayamod lefanav, and he stood before him. And now, look at the lack of pronouns here. Oh, and just to remind you, Doeg only mentioned a son of Yishai. And here they are sending for David. So somehow we're either missing something in the dialogue, or somehow they just knew that it was referring to David. So just a reminder of that. And here, there's another lack of pronouns. So it can be inferred that David stood before Shaul, because that would be normal for a king and somebody who's just coming to him. Vayahavehu me'od. And he loved him very much. So there, it seems that if you followed it along, that David is really the subject here, because the next clause also, Vayahi lo nosef kelim, he became his weapons bearer, which is like, you know, most intimate advisor. So it seems like David here is the subject of all these things, the one who's doing the verbs. So in that case, you'd have to understand that it's actually David who loves Shaul very much in this pasuk. When we think about these things, a lot of times we think of Shaul loving David and then being conflicted, but it's important for us to understand throughout the entire saga of David and Shaul that David loves Shaul very much and has tremendous respect for him. And then that also helps us understand why David refuses to harm Shaul in any way when they're actually warring with each other.
So why does he love him very much?
It's interesting. I think, you know what I think it is? Actually, I read this somewhere. It might even be here, but we'll read it all inside. If you have something that you know somebody else just lost, because David's aware of this going on, he's received this Ruach Hashem that he's never experienced before, and he now knows what it is, and he knows probably that this is what Shaul had, and seeing Shaul in this state He now knows Sha'ul no longer has it. And the empathy that then creates the love for knowing what he has and what Sha'ul is missing, right? That's a psychological thing.
Well, empathy and love are a little different, but I mean, it might be that he's, I don't know, it seems like Sha'ul's giving him this kind of opportunity, right? I mean, he was just a shepherd, and it seems like his life is changing.
Right,
now.
So he could be grateful.
Maybe that's why, yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, okay, that could be part of
but
it,
who
too,
knows?
For sure. Okay, Kaf Bet. Vayishlach Sha'ul Yishai Lemor. And so Sha'ul sends again to Yishai saying, and you can imagine, like, David can't just text his father saying everything's okay. Like, imagine, just go back to what Yishai is thinking, like, oh my God, is he, you know, going to kill my son? And now he hears from Sha'ul again, Yamod na, please, right? Before there was no please, now there's a please. Please let David stand lefanai, before me, ki matzachen be'enai, because he's found favor in my eyes. So, imagine Yishai getting this message. He's like, yes, keep him. You like him, fine, great. And so it's also interesting, the different verbs, that for David to Sha'ul, it's ahava. Also, I guess you could make the comparison a little bit between Yosef and Yaakov and David and Sha'ul. I don't really want to make this comparison, but I think there's too many similarities. That when Yosef wants to tell over his dreams, Yaakov's response is, are you crazy? Right? Like but he's trying to show him love. Like, he's seeing the animosity it's creating between him and his brother, so that's why he's putting it down. But he clearly doesn't want to hear about it. And we've discussed David being the shepherd, not being honorable, and Yishai having rejected his mother because of all these questions on their Jewish identity and who they were. And so David was kind of rejected in that way. And here he comes to Sha'ul, and he's the king, and he finds favor in his eyes. And going back to Yosef, Yosef comes to Paro, he finds favor in his eyes, and he's lifted up to this level, and Sha'ul lifts David up. So David, from being the runt of the shepherd in the family and not getting any, and we're even going to see this in the next chapter with the fight with Goliath, that David has to beg to be able to be part of the family and fighting Goliath and showing his military prowess, and nobody wants to let him. And here is, and Sha'ul is actually going to give him his uniform, his army gear, and it's just a very different relationship. So I'm a little uncomfortable with everything I just said, because we do have traditions about Yishai that he was one of the few people that never sinned. So he's definitely a tzaddik, and I don't want to lose any of that. But we also, for Yaakov also, he's a tzaddik, and I don't want to lose any of that. But just in terms of the son and their relationship to the father and the father substitute, and again, I'm taking this from the way Rabbi David Foreman described Yosef and his relationship to his father and to Paro, but it just seems the similarities here are very strong. Any comments on that? Okay. Kaf Gimel, Vaya Biot Ruach Elokim El Sha'ul. And it was that the Spirit of God returned to Sha'ul. Vilakach David etakinor, and David so again, just to notice the order of the text, David hasn't even played any music. So something about David, and Rabbi Ian Schaefer, I forgot who he quoted it from, because I didn't find it in Rabbi Bachrach, but he says, he's on YU Torah, another rabbi that I prepare with through YU Torah. He says that the Ruach Elohim was so strong on David that Sha'ul was actually able to get some of the ricochet off of him from this strong sense. He was able to feel what it felt like to him to have the Ruach Elohim on him. So just David's appearance into his room, standing before him, was enough to comfort Sha'ul with all of the Ruach Elohim radiating from him, in a sense. And it's only now, and he feels this sense and this comfort of having that back. And it's not until after all these things he's already requested from Yishai that he let David stay with him, he's found favor in his eyes. And now, in the middle of Pasuk Kaf Gimel, Vilakach David etakinor v'nigen b'yado, now he only plays. So this is all pre-David playing the instrument for him. V'ruach l'sha'ul, v'ravach l'sha'ul. And Sha'ul had space. He was able to be relieved of his depression, his horrible feeling. V'tovlo, and it was good to him. V'sara me'alav ruach hara'ah. and this evil spirit was departed from Sheol. And it's a nice way to end the section, whereas before, if you look at the first pasuk that I have on the sheet for you in Yodalad, V'ruach Hashem Sara Mi'im Sheol, that the Ruach of God was removed from Sheol, and here, V'Sara Me'alav Ruach HaRa'ah, the Ruach HaRa'ah departed from Sheol, was removed from him. It's beautiful symmetry. Yeah.
You know, back to the question of what was the basis for David loving Sheol. If David's family kind of sent him away and he was alone and kind of devalued, you know, having Sheol send for him, of all people, and having him, like, be by his side, you know, this is someone who's prestigious.
Yeah.
He's, like, he's not no longer king, but, you know, having someone send for you when all your life you've kind of been pushed aside, that must have made David feel pretty good, and it must have sort of, you know, been the basis for loving that person. And in addition, if Ruach Elohim is new to David, it must feel very strange for him, and also knowing that no one else feels this. And Shaul is somebody who can relate.
Yeah.
Even though it's left him, he probably, you know, has a basis of understanding of what that means.
Right.
And he can relate to him in a way other people can't.
Yeah. And the way that you just phrased it makes an even stronger case for Yosef and Paro, because Yosef literally is rejected by his brothers and thrown into a pit, and here he's being embraced by the Egyptian people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's interesting. I also want to go back to the Ruach Ra, because that's sort
of... Yeah.
I don't know, I don't remember how it plays out later. Does it come back? Or is this the only time we see it? Like, first upon Sheol, and then it leaves him. But it's like, you know, I don't, like, what is it? Like, it almost, like, is it a depression? Is it, like, a mood? Is it evil? Is it God's... I mean, what
yeah.
is it?
I think Shani Terrigan might speak to it a lot, too. But, yeah, no, it's...
He's bipolar.
Certainly because part of my personality is sort of yeah. later, but...
Insecurity.
Yeah. It's what is it?
Insecurity.
And it looks from the psukim that it's coming from God, which is also a little disturbing.
Right.
That it's not the absence of the Ruach Elohim, but right. that it's something that...
It's something... extra.
Yeah.
It's not just absence.
Yeah. So I don't know. It's a really good question. Sarich Iyun. You know that expression? Sarich Iyun? So sometimes you'll see in halachic works, like when different rabbis are really struggling with how to interpret the halacha, and they conclude, and you'll see Tzadik Ayin, which means Sarich Iyun. We need to look into it further.
All right, you see that in Wikipedia a lot.
Yeah.
So Ricky, you know, it says this needs to be clarified.
Yeah, exactly.
Are there other characters in Tanakh who have experienced this?
So I just read, I should have made note of it. It's on the VBM in Rav Amnon Bazak's summaries of his teachings. And he actually has a book out in Hebrew on Shmuel and all the lectures he did. And I don't remember the exact numbers, but he said something like this notion is mentioned 8 times, and 7 of the 8, and again, I'm not quoting the numbers exactly, were referring to Sheol. And the other one was a completely different case of like non-Jews. So it wasn't even relevant.
Yeah.
So I'll look that up on the VBM again, and I'll show you. Okay. So the very next chapter, just so you know where we're going to here, we get to David HaMelech and Goliath. And it's also really bizarre. We're not going to discuss it now, but Sheol is reintroduced to David, and he says, "Who is this?" And like here, we had this intimate connection here. So it's just odd just to look ahead a little bit of what's going to happen in their relationship. And it could be that when he says, "Who is this?" that's when it hits, because then with Goliath is where David shows his military prowess, the other adjectives that Doeg used, and that's when it must hit Sheol like a ton of bricks. This is the guy. Okay, so let's talk a little bit about Doeg. Okay, so we are on page 39 of the other sheet. That's from this book. And where it says Yud Zayin. So we talked all about how you can't have prophecy and anger, and how you need to, and how the music helps you get in a happy mood, and we talked all about that. And I think we're on where it says Yud Zayin. So Vayomer Shaul al Avadav. Shaul then says to his servants, Re'una li ish meitiv lanagen v'havi otam elai. So see for me please a man who is good at playing instruments and bring him to me. So Rav Bachrach says, Hayim lo hayu menagnim bebeit hamelech? Of course there would already be musicians in the palace. V'lo mitzrichim hayu hazmana levakesh lo b'chol gvul Yisrael ish yodeh menagen b'chinor. So why do they need an invitation to seek out in all of the borders of the land of Israel a person who knows how to play on the harp? Im avadav lo yadu, aval Shaul hu hayodeh. Maybe his servants don't understand this, but Shaul does know. Ki lo kol tofes kinor yochol hasir me'alav et ruach hara'ah. Not every person who grasps a harp, can play in a way sufficient to remove the ruach ra'ah from him. You know, we've experienced this with different musicians. Al kein ho amer lehem, and that's why he says to them, Ru'una li ish meitiv lanagin. Find for me a man who is good at playing. Ach aleinu lerot bazeh et ratzon elokim. But it's upon us to see the will of God. This is what I was alluding to before. Asher bikesh v'derach zot lizamen yachdav et shnei meshichav. That Hashem is seeking in this way to bring together, to opportune together, his two anointed ones. Asher b'terem yakiru zetzeh. That before they would know each other, kvar hem yir'im zemezeh, that they would already be afraid of each other. I think we did read this last week, I apologize. Mishum maratza ki yeshvu krovim zemul zeh. And why would Hashem want that they would be sitting so close together, ba'al korcham, against their will, v'shelo b'tovatam, and not for their benefit? Vayan echad me'anarim, and one of the young men then said, vayomer, Hine ra'iti ben li Yishai beit alachmi. Behold, I have seen a son in the house of Yishai the Bethlehemite. Yodea nigen v'gibor chayal v'ish mechama u'navon davar v'ish to'ar v'asham imo. One who knows how to play, who is a chayal, who's strong, and he is a man of war, and he's understanding in his words, and he's beautiful, and God is with him. Mihu ze echad me'anarim. So the other page. Who is this young man? V'lama hu mosif u'marbeh Ko leshvach et David lifnei Shaul. And why does he keep adding and adding and multiplying all of these praises of David before Shaul? Matai v'heichan hekirza et David b'chol haskulot ha'ele. When could this young man possibly have known all of these special things about David? Ha'im ohev hu ha'ish hazeh leDavid et tovato v'hu mebakesh lehavio lifnei ha'melech v'lo yada ki ra'ahu hilo? Could it be that this man loves David, and he's doing it for his good, to ask that he bring him before the king, and he doesn't know that it's actually going to be bad for him? O ki yada et kol zot. Or perhaps he knows all of this. V'hu sonelo mitzmol shelshon. And this young man actually hates David from previous to this. Elav gonev hadavar asher asa Shmuel b'Beit Lechem. And he knows what Shmuel's done in Beit Lechem. V'ata Matza makom lehavir alav et kinato shel Shaul. And now he's finding a way to fan the flames of jealousy that are already in Shaul by saying all these things. Chazal gilu lanu ki hu doeg ha'edomi. So the rabbis have revealed to us that this is Doeg the Edomite. Minalan de doeg hava. So from where do we know that it was Doeg? This is from the Gemara in Sanhedrin. Ketiv hacha, it's written here, Vaya'an echad me'anarim, and one of the young men answered him, Ve'ketiv hatam, and it's also written in Perek Kaf Aleph, Ve'sham ish me'avdei Sha'ul b'yom ha'hu ne'atzar lifnei Hashem, u'shmo do'eg ha'adomi, avir ha'ro'im asher le'Sha'ul. So there is a man among the servants of Sha'ul on that day who was stopped before God, and his name was Doeg Adomi, the head of the sheep that are to Shaul. You see, like the head shepherd. So here he's feeling the pinch that if David comes to power, either A, he loses his job as head shepherd at best, and at worst, Shaul's entire kingdom goes down. Okay? Doeg ha'adomi. We're in the middle of page 40. Echai oto nakir kison o hagadol shel David rak echar kach. So we're only going to find out later that he's one of David's biggest haters. Halo hu asher sinato achla et nov ir hakonim. Akale et nov ir hakonim. So this is going to happen when Shaul finds out that the priests in Nov have harbored David and helped him. And we've spoken about this before, when Shaul had mercy on Amalek, and then that led him to show no mercy on the Kohanim of Nov, that he completely and utterly destroys this whole village of Kohanim. And Doeg ha'adomi is one of the main perpetrators of that horrible crime of destroying Nov. Tchilato kanhi. So Doeg's beginning is here, of his hatred of David and his mechanisms to try to get rid of him. Ach adayin hu mistater, but here it's still hidden. V'hu echad menarim, and he's just one of the young men. So he's not out in the open yet about his hatred. V'ele darchei chanaf mereshitam, and here is his way of flattery from the beginning. Hu omed lifnei Shaul umisaper ki ilu lefi tumo b'shivcho shel hamenagen, v'lishono tatzmid merma. So he's speaking to Shaul as if out of purity that he's praising the musician, but his tongue is entrapping him in trickery. So this is from the Rambam, Hilchot Deot, from the Mishnah Torah. Anybody who tells the goodness of his friend before the one who hates him, Hare ze avak lashon hara. This has the dust of lashon hara. So if you go up to somebody that you know hates someone else and start saying how great they are, even though you're not saying anything bad, it's not lashon hara, because you know that person hates them, it has the avak, the dust of lashon hara. Sheze gorim lahem sheyisapru b'gnuto, because this will cause him to tell about what's bad, to tell you what's bad. So this is a pasuk from Mishlei that Shlomo said. The one who blesses his neighbor in a loud voice in the morning, there'll be curses, will be thought of on him. Have you ever had that, where like you didn't know that somebody hated somebody else, and you said something nice about somebody, and then they just started going off on how much they hated them?
A couple times, even if they don't hate them, but just praising somebody is just naturally elicits someone to want to say something negative.
Yeah.
Like if you just keep going all the positive, so even you shouldn't do that. You shouldn't completely praise somebody.
Right. Yeah.
In front of somebody else.
Yeah. So that's what Doeg is doing here, and he's planting the seeds for his trickery. So he's coming to advise the king in order for him to make himself look better. Or no, in order to make it good for him. But in his heart, he's laughing the laugh of Satan. He's going,
that's pretty evil.
Yeah. And he's enjoying, as he goes on and on in this praise, to see Shaul get considerably more uncomfortable and get angry. Holech v'nis'ar, another word for more anger, sa'ara, the storm. V'lishmo kol shavach v'shavach shel David, hearing all these praises and praises of David. V'amar Rav Yehuda amar Rav. So Rav Yehuda said in the name Rav, kol pasuk hazeh lo amru Doeg ela b'lashon hara. Doeg only said this for lashon hara. Yodea nagein, he knows how to play an instrument. She yodea lish'ol, he knows how to ask. Gibur chayel, she yodea lahashiv. Not only does he know how to ask a good question, he knows how to give a good answer. That's what gibur chayel. Ish melchama, man of war, she yodea lisa v'litan b'melchamata shel Torah. He knows how to have a good debate in the war of Torah. Ish Torah, he's beautiful. Shemar'e panim, Batorah, that he, Rashi explains, he can give proof to his words. Ve'navon davar, and he's understanding of a word, u'mevin davar mitoch davar, he can understand something from within something else, he can make connections. Ve'ashem imo, and God is with him, she'halacha kemotu bekol makom, that the halacha agrees with him in every place. Bekula amar leho Sha'ol, with each of these things, Sha'ul then said to him, and this is where we get to another crux that we're going to explore, Yonatan b'ni kmohu, my son Yonatan is like that. Kevan she'amar v'Hashem imo, but once Doeg completed all these praises, saying God is with him, Devar she'gam bo lo haya, the thing that Sha'ul also doesn't have, and assuming his son, he sees that his son doesn't have it, because he knows what it is to have it, Chalsha dato b'kin avo, his mind gets weak and he's jealous of him. Yonatan b'ni kamohu, so what does it mean? Yonatan, my son, is like him. Ulahid nachem od Sha'ul b'libo. Maybe Sha'ul, in all of these compliments that Doeg was given to David, maybe he was able to take comfort in his heart. Ki ra'ahu hatov, re'ehu hatov mimenu. Oh, so this guy who's going to be better than me, this friend who's going to be better than me, yeza b'no Yonatan. This could be my son Yonatan, and then it won't be so bad. But once he hears Hashem imo, that puts that away. It's not his son. And as all of us parents here, we can really identify with when your child gets rejected from something and you know that they were capable of it, and it's so sad. Sometimes we care more than our kids. Okay, and I think...
It's like a compassionate view of what happened to Sheldon.
Yeah,
because he was really provoked that it naturally, that's not where he was, but he was sort of pushed.
Right. Right, but yet he can't help but
like...
He has
to be responsible for his actions.
Yeah, and at this point, he still can't help but like David at this point. And
right,
David really loves him. Which is also interesting, because with all the comparisons we're making of Yosef and everything, David is seeing him as a father, but Sha'ul is incapable of seeing David as his son, mm-hmm. even when he becomes his son-in-law later on when he marries his daughter. Okay, we'll stop there.